Elections for school boards, town boards, county boards, and city councils are all nonpartisan in Wisconsin. But partisan politics can creep into these important local government offices behind the scenes. In recent elections, state Democratic and Republican Party leaders have contributed to the campaigns of candidates running for nonpartisan seats in local governments. It raises concerns about how political parties and partisan issues might be trickling down to governing bodies aren't supposed to be influenced by the left or the right. So what do you think? 1-800-642-1234. What have you seen in your community's local government? Are you seeing the influences of political parties? Do you think it's important to keep local government nonpartisan? Or do you want to see blatantly Democratic or Republican influences in your school, town, or county boards? You can tell me, 1-800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. Our guest is Rich Gruber, former president of the Janesville City Council, retired healthcare executive who's co-founded the community advocacy group Common Sense Rock County. His group started the Rock County Civics Academy to educate the public on how local government works and what candidates need to know to run for these nonpartisan positions. Rich, welcome to Central Time.
Lauren, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And so how big of a concern, from your perspective right now, is there about partisanship creeping into Wisconsin's nonpartisan elections?
There has been a trend that we've observed for perhaps the last eight years, more and more activity by organized political parties trying to find a way to, frankly, use local government elected positions as a farm club, as it were, for candidates in the future that would run for state legislature or federal office. We've seen an increase in the amount of dollars that are being directly contributed by organized political parties to local candidates. And frankly, along with those increased dollars going to those candidates directly, we've seen the availability of a lot of political campaign workers who have decided that we'll be out in force to support this candidate, or that block of candidates that want to run for office. And for the first time in the history of the city of Janesville, for example, we had a candidate who spent well over $10,000 to run for a nonpartisan, non-compensated local government office. And frankly, all that does is drive up the cost of John or Joan Q. Citizen who have an interest in running for the right reasons. So we've seen a lot, and that, frankly, is one of the reasons why we formed the organization we have.
Yeah, why are these offices nonpartisan? What would happen if we made our school boards, our town and county boards, Republican or Democrat or another party?
You know, you almost have to go back in history to the advent of local governments. I go back historically to the New England town hall concept of government. And that's when everybody in a particular jurisdiction, the town at that time, would get together annually. They'd have a meeting and they'd transact the town's business. That tradition is one that was nonpartisan. It was inclusive of all members of the community who were of a certain age. And they had a direct hand in dealing with the issues of town government. That carried on when Wisconsin was formed as a state back in 1848. The process of writing the Constitution, in fact, included provisions that said it would be nonpartisan offices at the local level. And when you think about it, the purpose of nonpartisan offices, the purpose of local government, frankly, is it's an extension of state government. It's an extension at the local level to provide the services that the state was providing to the population as a whole. And as such, it's supposed to be nonpartisan, non-political in the delivery of services. For example, if you look through the reform movement that's happened across this country, much of the reforms that have brought us nonpartisan local government offices, as well as, for example, the city manager movement, came out as a result of a corruption scandal turned many, many local jurisdictions into a bastion of leadership by one party or the other for purposes of those folks that served in that party. Imagine for a second if you had a doesn't matter which party, a Democrat or a Republican in the assessor's office assessing the value of property for tax purposes. Would one have to argue or be concerned about a partisan position having that responsibility overseeing the determination of something that should be fair, unbiased, not influenced by political ideology. So that's one of the reasons why our leaders at the time the Constitution was written wrote in a provision that said we are going to be nonpartisan, and those offices should be excluded from any potential partisan ideology that could come into the forefront and steer for whatever nefarious purpose the direction of services provided at the local level.
But Rich, I have to ask about this because our partisanship has, to some degree, become part of our identity. It's not just how we vote. To some degree, people see it as who they are. It's a representation of their own values that then transcends to the ballot box. But it goes beyond that, doesn't it? So,
Well,
what do you
it
think?
doesn't. It does indeed go beyond that. I like to use the basic analogy of what does city government provide? What does county government provide in terms of basic services? As a former elected official, having spent time for years as a member of a city council, our focus was on roads and bridges and fire protection and EMS services, making sure that we had quality infrastructure that when you turned the tap, the water came out. When you flushed the commode, the sewage disappeared. It was treated in a healthful fashion. And frankly, we didn't get into any great debates about the national or international issues of the day. As a practical matter, I've yet to see a single pothole that I was concerned with filling in a budget process that had either a D on it or an R on it. And for that
Potholes.
matter, I can honestly say that I rarely have ever ran into a Republican or a Democratic wastewater pipe. Instead, my issues had to do with how do we raise the dollars necessary to ensure that the community has the infrastructure they need to live in a healthful standard of that promotes community.
Valid points. And let me reintroduce you quick here. Rich Gruber is our guest, former president of the Janesville City Council, co-founder of the community advocacy group Common Sense Rock County, which started the Rock County Civics Academy. And Rich, how would so you make some valid points here. So, but also have pointed to the fact that some political party machines have gotten involved in these nonpartisan elections in a way that may squeeze others without the machine behind them out. So how can we best keep partisan politics out of our nonpartisan government?
We believe we have to go back to basics. And by that, I suggest that if people have a better understanding of what the role is of city government, what the role is of your school board or your town or your village government, if you have an understanding of what the elected officials who are serving the community actually do, what are their responsibilities? And more importantly, sometimes what aren't their responsibilities? What are the areas that are left for other units of government? You might have people that decide that it's really of interest for the right reasons for me to run for my school board or for my village board, my town board, my city council, because I've got an interest in the common good of the community where I reside, as opposed to some ideology that I want to espouse and carry forward to deal with the day-to-day things that are so important to the people that live in our communities. So we went back to the basics. We said education is where it has to start. So we launched what we call the Rock County Citizens Academy. The Rock County Citizens Academy is a series of public education seminars that we've been conducting, and we started with basics. We brought in a panel of folks who are experts in their respective fields, and we asked them the question, what are the qualities that make a good community? And they very quickly focused in on the fact that a good community is built on the basis of public services that meet the basic human needs of those folks living in the community. They are the services that ensure that you have quality schools, that are adequately funded to ensure that the educational programs available are such that the industry and business that's necessary in the community is finding the workers coming out of those schools that can take up the jobs necessary to keep us vital and alive. To me, the three principal tenets of what holds a community together are great education, excellent health services, and a quality, honest, transparent, inclusive local government to ensure that frankly we have the environment that's conducive to people living collectively and in some harmony and can thrive and raise their families there.
We're talking
If
with
you have
community.
The,
Oh, we got to take a break here, Rich, but we'll get right back to it because I want to know more about this Rock County Citizen Civics Academy. And for those who may have questions about it and involvement in it, as we, as our guest, Rich, looks to remove the partisanship from what should be nonpartisan offices and nonpartisan elections. Is this something you've seen in your community? Has it impacted your quality of life? 1-800-642-1234 to join our conversation. How did you put your own partisan political beliefs aside to serve your local community? What advice would you give for others running for local government offices? 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation with Rich Gruber continues on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're picking up the conversation with Rich Gruber, former Janesville City Council president, healthcare executive, who started a community advocacy group called Common Sense Rock County. And he's with us to discuss how to keep partisanship from influencing nonpartisan elections in our local governments here in Wisconsin. And we want to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, where Jim in Colfax is standing by. Jim, good afternoon. You're on the air with Rich Gruber.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I wanted to call in is that I happen to be an elected supervisor in Dunn County, Wisconsin, and some of the things that your guest is talking about are things that I've experienced while serving on the county board. That most of us that run for the county board and serve in a public capacity do it for civically minded reasons. We want to take care of our local constituents. We want to make sure that roads are plowed, that our sheriff's department is funded, and things like that. This past election, there were a lot of people who seemed to be running and were being supported in very partisan ways, and a lot of it was based on misinformation. I'd be kind of curious as to what your guest has learned about how misinformation has maybe contributed to some of the more partisanship.
Could you give us a brief example, Jim?
Well, for example, there were a lot of things that people were running against that supposedly our county board was doing, either related to COVID policy, related to how we were or weren't spending ARPA funds, and when some of these folks, a few of them got elected to the county board and found out it was nothing like the boogeyman that we had been portrayed as being, that we were just people, you know, really interested in getting stuff done. And very surprisingly, it was how it's how some of the folks that did get elected went, oh, I see these guys just want to kind of work for our neighbors and get some of this stuff done. So maybe there's hope that some of the folks that are being very partisan about this, when they actually get elected, find out, oh, it's not exactly what I thought it might be.
Awesome. Jim, thank you so much. What role is misinformation playing in some of this, as you see it, Rich Gruber, some of this partisanship seeping into our nonpartisan elections?
Let me give you some concrete examples. In our own Rock County Board of Supervisors, they've had legislation introduced by members of the county board that deal with very critical issues from a national and international dialogue perspective, but really have nothing to do with the day-to-day role of Rock County government. Specific examples: the Rock County Board spent a good portion of an evening's meeting debating the merits of declaring racism a public health crisis. They had spent a goodly amount of time entertaining resolutions that, frankly, had the county board taking a stand definitively on cannabis legislation, an assault weapons ban, an entire discussion on women's bodily autonomy. These are all important issues, but as our friend in Dunn County says, that's not the meeting purpose. That's not the business of county government. The business of county government is to make sure that the roads are plowed, the trash is collected, in those areas that have water and sewers, municipal services, that they work and they run properly, that there is a sufficient budget to support local fire departments and emergency medical services, that the sheriff's department is adequately funded to provide law enforcement services. And while all of these other topics, whether it be cannabis or women's bodily autonomy, are important topics, they don't fall within the purview of what the county board can actually do anything about in a meaningful way. And we've seen the same sorts of resolutions come forward at the city government level. And I feel particularly concerned about my friends serving as school board trustees who had to deal with the merits of vaccination or non-vaccination, masks or no masks, in their local school systems as a result of the pandemic, and been basically having their attention taken away from the real issues, which is quality education and the infrastructure to support quality education in your communities.
Rich, we got a follow-up here, as Martha is calling in from Menominee, also lives in Dunn County. Martha, you're on the air with Rich Gruber from Common Sense Rock County.
You know, it is common sense. It's great. Love this conversation. Just came away from a meeting here on this referendum that is happening in Dunn County. It's on my ballot. And in an effort to save the county, which is just what Rich was just talking about, upwards of $500,000 a year in health insurance, the Dunn County Board now has put on the ballot a national health care insurance referendum. It's gotten the attention of the folks on the East Coast, folks on the West Coast. It's a pretty amazing thing. And I'm really excited about it. And when the board took hearings on this, not one person who testified identified as a Democrat or a Republican. Nobody mentioned party lines. It was just, how can we save everybody, the county and the county employees and tax, you know, how can we save money?
Martha, thank you. So a national health care referendum ballot measure in Dunn County. But again, Rich, this sounds like something that may not be the purview of the county board.
Important for county boards to focus on the responsibilities that they have. And while I certainly respect the necessity of using local communities as a barometer for national issues, I'm not necessarily certain that spending dollars to put a referendum on the ballot, an advisory referendum, to talk about national health insurance, when frankly those decisions are not made by the county government. Those decisions are made at the federal level or at the state level.
Let's see if, Rich, while we got the time, I want to see if we can get one more in here. Mike in Wausau joins us. And Mike, you're on the air with Rich Gruber.
Hi. Hi, I was wondering if you might know why, among the various local positions, county clerks and sheriffs are partisan elections, where you'd think that those would be things based on actual knowledge.
Not just sheriffs and county clerks, district attorneys, and even the register of deeds offices are partisan. Why is that, Rich?
Well, that again goes back to that tradition of New England-style town government, where we initially elected those individuals in the towns to be the day-to-day representatives. As the reform movements took place across the country, and I'll use the example of the city manager reform movement that really took root here in Wisconsin in the early 1900s, one of the reasons why it was done was to depoliticize the office of the mayor and the alder persons that served in cities. that movement that fell under the auspices of the La Follette Good Government movement created a professional city manager, for example, with the belief that by depoliticizing the executive function within city government, we wouldn't be subjected to the Tammany Hall scandal sorts of things that were happening across the country at the time. New York is one place in particular. So there was a movement to depoliticize those things, and that was one of the results. Slowly over time, you've seen the change in county level offices, so that frankly, you're not seeing the level of county board supervisors, for example, in Rock County are not elected on a partisan basis. They're elected on a nonpartisan basis. And over time, I've had the conversation with candidates for sheriff, and they scratch their head and they say, what does me being the sheriff, fulfilling the sheriff's duties and responsibilities, have to do with whether or not I'm a Democrat or a Republican or a Green Party member or a Libertarian Party member? I would rather focus on the issues of what are the needs for law, what are the law enforcement needs in my community, as opposed to have to hold some ideological beliefs in order to qualify under a party system. And frankly, the change was a direct result of conversations such as this that took place over the years, where people said, wait a minute, it doesn't make sense to have a Republican or a Democrat or a Green Party member or a Libertarian Party member.
And Rich, we're going to have to keep having the conversation, but we are out of time for today. And I want to thank you so much for joining us.
I thank you for your time, and hopefully we can continue in another time.
Rich Gruber, co-founder of the community advocacy group Common Sense Rock County, with us today to take a look at partisanship seeping into our nonpartisan elections.